And that how come someone atrasa? Begin to discipline yourself to pray in tongues. She said, well, how do you do that? Like you do anything else. You can sit and watch TV for hours. Wow. But pray in tongues? Do you know your life will change when you pray in the Holy Spirit? People say, well, I wish my life would change. Are you praying in the Holy Spirit? Ah. God wants your life to change too, more than you. More than you. He's good. 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 Oh, I'm telling you, we have a God that helps us. We don't know how to pray. Pray in the Holy Ghost. My goodness, bypass your brain. Your brain has limitations. Your brain reverts back to what it's been taught, what it has seen, what it has touched with the senses. Ah, you're not limited to those senses. Matter of fact, sometimes they're in your way. You can't go by what you see. My goodness, you look at the life and ministry of Jesus. He didn't go by what he saw when he fed the thousands. Man, a couple of fish, a few loaves of bread. He starts thanking God for the provision. Why? Because his spirit showed him something that nobody else was seeing. Your spirit, when you pray in the Holy Spirit and spend time with God alone, the Spirit of God will show you something you would not dream up or think of on your own. He can help you with school. Trust me, I know. He can help you organize your day. He can help you make the right connections that you are supposed to have for your future. God knows. God knows you. The Bible says he knows every hair on your head. He knows you're sitting up. You're sitting, you're waking, you're walking. I mean, every move you make, God is aware of you. And he says, are you aware of me? Did you know that your spirit is always aware of God? Our spirit is waiting for us to pray in tongues. Because your mind isn't going to come up with really all that God has. That is one of the main ways I think that spirit-filled Christians limit God. They have an experience, they pray in tongues once, they go, okay, I've got it. That's like buying a car you never drive. You might as well have just not bought the car. If we don't use what God has given us, why would we think he's going to give us more? He gave you a tool that you don't have on your own. You can never serve God the way he intended for you to serve him apart from his own spirit igniting you. That's the Holy Ghost. All I'm saying is give God something to work with. Give what he said and quit coming up with your own reasons why you just can't possibly do that. Well, how would it look? Man. Get past yourself. Get past yourself. Yourself is what's in the way. Ourself is what gets in the way. I'm so glad Jesus didn't worry about what everybody was thinking about him. Aren't you so glad? Do we understand that he is our model for how we are supposed to be in this life while we're here in these fleshly vessels? Look in Hebrews 11 this morning. I welcome you this morning. I welcome you. I tell you, I get fired up. About that was awesome. Yes, and I was looking at what the Lord has done. I looked through the room and started seeing what the Lord has done just the past, this weekend. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Answers you need. I'm talking to you about answers you need. There's some things you don't always need to know. I don't need to know how to build a spaceship, really. Bonnie's, you're glad, huh, Bonnie? I don't need to know how to build a spaceship. But there are some answers I'm going to need for what God has called me to do. If you're called to build a spaceship, you'll need to know. You'll have to have some answers, right? So it's important for us to begin to, this is why I'm saying you've got to get into the spirit realm. Let me tell you the thing that will oppose that. Your television programs, friends calling, texting, all the busyness of life. You just twiddle your life away with TV and media and what everybody else is saying while your Bible is closed all that time. It doesn't have to be that way. Oh, man, I invite you to come on in. Taste and see that the Lord is good. In Hebrews 11, I'm going to start in verse 5. But by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony. He was translated. That's what happened. Before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. That's a pretty bold statement, don't you think? But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, as opposed to half-heartedly seeking him. There's got to be a diligence in us. The Bible says diligent hands rule. There's a lot of the scriptures about being diligent. In other words, you stay with something. You're in today, you're out tomorrow. You're on cloud nine today, and the next week it's like this, phooey. Because we've got our eyes too much on the things of this world. This world is passing away. It's not going to be here forever. We're not either. There's going to be a transition, and then we'll come back to a whole different looking planet. That's another story. But we want to be diligent. Can God depend on you to be faithful to him? We always say, oh, God, I wish you'd do this. Oh, God, I need you to do this. And he's so faithful, it's kind of like, but we're not giving him much to work with. And it isn't that you're working to get God to move. God loved you before you knew him. He loves you. He's for you. He'll never be against you. He just has given us some tools that he says, this works in my kingdom. This is how my kingdom. See, his kingdom doesn't work like the earthly kingdom. In his kingdom, you don't go by what you see. You go by what he says. In our world system, people just go by what they see. They don't understand how many angels are in this room. This room's packed. Some of them are sitting in the chairs. Or new chairs we just got. It was God's idea. It was God's idea. Yeah. Praise God. But it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. You know, it's one thing to know God. It's another thing to want to please him. You won't care if you please him unless you really know him. Did you know that? The more you get to know God, the more you want him to just smile. Just to smile. Just to be happy. He wants to partner with you for everything he's called you to do. He wants to walk with you in the halls of your school. He wants to be up in the middle of conversations you're having with people in grocery stores or school or at your office, your place of work. He says, I'm with you wherever you go, but we act like he isn't, don't we? If you were with some friends in the cafeteria, let's say you're with some friends at school or on your job, whatever, and you went and sat by them and they just ignored you like you're not there. Well, okay, But you had some interesting things to say, things that would really help them. But they never realized you were even there, like you were invisible to them, like you didn't exist. How would it make you feel? Duh. Right? We treat God like he isn't real. When he becomes real to you, you will become very conscious that he's right here. He's hearing everything you're saying. When he's blessed you, and then you're complaining. Wow. Things that we take for that we don't think about because we're not thinking. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Do you know the Holy Spirit is the one that will make you more aware of God? You say, well, I just don't feel God. Pray in tongues. Use what he gave you. It is you have a recreated spirit, and in the spirit world, things operate differently than they do just on the natural order. Yes, I'm repeating it again. It needs to be repeated because people don't understand. They keep trying to serve God the way they do everything else. It doesn't work like that. You're not serving God. You're serving an idea you have about God. That's different than serving God. I'm never mad. I'm just passionate. I'm so passionate about God. He says he's a rewarder. So your reward comes from God. He says he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The rewarder is the one who rewards, the one who's been diligently seeking. That means you're searching out. You investigate. You crave. You inquire. You worship. That's what it means to diligently seek, is you're searching things out. You're praying in the language he gave you. You're saying, God, I need you to show me some more things. I don't understand some things. You're never going to understand them just sitting around talking to people or ignoring God. Your answers are found in him. Seeking means you strive after. You inquire. You ask, you desire, you require. Specifically when you're in worship and prayer. Now turn to Jeremiah 29. I'm going to go to verse 12. Jeremiah says, then you will call upon, the Lord says, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me. Speaking to Jeremiah. Well, it's just really talking to people. Jeremiah's delivering a message. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. See, you've got to want God with all your heart, holding nothing back. God wanted you with all his heart, and he didn't hold anything back from you. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I've driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. What had happened is the people of God, this is old covenant now, we're back here, we're going all over the place. Under the old covenant, God had requirements under the law, and the people kept deviating from the law, and they would go and worship idols. They burned their own kids in fire, sacrificing them to these idols when they were in other nations while they were captive. And sometimes they'd been there, they would be there for years and years and years and years. But then all of a sudden people would say, you know what, we had it better. All our people had it better when we served God, which is always the truth. You always have it better when you're serving God. You're not crazy. You're not doing stupid stuff. You're not lying or cheating or stealing from anybody. People around you have an easier time because you don't go wild with your temper anymore. You're not screaming and shouting in the house. You're not slamming doors. You're not doing stupid stuff anymore. But he says, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. When you seek the Lord, he listens to you. When you come to the Lord and you're sincere, he always listens to you. There's some answers that you've got to have. You're not going to get the answers you need except from God. You cannot get the answers you need for your particular life, for where you are at this juncture of your life, and where God wants to take you in life, apart from the one that you said you gave your life to. It makes no sense to me to say, Jesus, Lord, I'm giving you my life, and then he has no say-so about it. Did you mean it when you said, I'm giving you my life? What do we think that means? Oh, I say the prayer, I do the deal. I do the deal so I can be a good citizen. I'm going to go to church, be glad when they're done, so I'm hungry. I want to go eat. I want to do whatever. But there's no, like, where is the passion for God? See, we don't understand God's passionate about you. I mean, he sent Jesus to take your place, and all your sin went into the body of Jesus. Every foul, damnable thing there ever was on the planet went into the body of Jesus. That's passion. That is passion. God says, where is your passion for me? You're going to have, you have questions now. A lot of people have questions. If you're passionate about God, as passionate as he is about you, if you will get in this word, learn it for yourself, talk to God about what you read, get answers for things, you'll become passionate about him. You will fall in love with him when you begin to get revelation about how much he loves you. And it'll keep you from quitting. I wrap myself up in his love like a warm blanket on a cold, bitter day. Do you know how to wrap yourself up in God's love? He'll keep you on track. He'll keep you on track. You cannot keep yourself on track because you don't know how. This is why you gave your life to him. You were already off track. You were without Christ. You were without hope. You're going to have things you're going to have to cope with in life. You're going to have things you're not just going to cope, you're going to conquer, to where some of that stuff just, it'll just roll off your back like, I don't care. Well, you should. Well, I don't. I don't care. There's a lot of things I don't care about. Yeah, but how's that going to look? I don't know. I don't care. Well, you've been doing this a long time. I know. I'm doing exactly what God told me to do. Are you? If God called you here, what are you supposed to be doing while you're here? What are you supposed to be learning while you're here? Where's the ministry that God's wanting to birth in you? Where is it? Some of you already know and you're doing it. I realize that. But others, you haven't discovered. Did you know that's where your greatest joy is, no matter what it looks like to anybody else? Because you just don't care. You're just so in love with Jesus, and you're just in this bubble of his grace and provision for your life. And you see his grace, you see his transforming power all around you all the time. You have conversations with God that others aren't privy to, but they delight your heart. You can dream about God. Do you ever dream about God? You can get to where you dream about God. You dream about conversations with God. The word will come alive to you. Says he will quicken your mortal body or make alive. There's a lot of Christians and it's kind of like, they're alive, but I don't see how. They're alive according to the standards of this world, but they're not alive unto God. They're not alive with the word of God. They're not alive with joy. I believe God wants us all to have that. And it doesn't mean you're not going to have problems and things to go through. We know that. Well, go through them. Get to the other side of them. But while you're in the midst of it, you can still have the joy of the Lord. He's your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. That, oh, well, wait a minute, because that means now I'm going to have my focus more on the Lord, isn't it? If the joy of the Lord is my strength, that means I'm going to have to look more at him than me. We're so self-centered, y'all. We don't mean to be. It's just the human nature. And you're encouraged to be self-centered. The media encourages you to think about yourself all the time. How you look, what will people think, the appropriate thing to wear, and who decides all that. I'm not for going naked, but I'm saying you should cover yourself up. But I'm just saying all these societal norms and things, these are things that were imposed on you. And if you go to another country, they're different. You could go to another continent, it'll be very different. We think the way we do it is all right. Well, that's just not okay. Says who? Where are you getting your information from about how you do your life? Who is really running your life? Need some answers. The Word of God has your answers. I can tell you the Word of God has your answers. Your culture does not have the answers for your life. Most of the people in our culture don't know the Lord. They really don't. Most people aren't saved. They don't care. They don't even think this way. I sure wish they did. They'd be happier. I want everybody to get to have the joy of the Lord in their heart. Have that peace that passes all understanding. Like you could be going through a storm. Most people don't even know you're going through it. Because God's got you you're just in a steady stream. And you just stay there. Man, you can go through all kinds of things. It doesn't mean you can't tell anybody. I'm not saying you have to keep everything secret. I'm just saying you can go through it, but you're like emotionally you're already on the other side of something. Because you've seen it. You've seen it. You know how it's going to play out ultimately. But you know where that comes from? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Spending that time with the Lord. Psalm 34:4 says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Man. The Word of God is a weapon against fear. The Word of God is a weapon against fear. Satan comes, he talks to you. Learn to understand his voice. See, you can just be in a habit of the way you respond to something over and over that you're not aware. No, that's Satan. He is inciting you. He is inciting you is what he's doing. But the psalmist says, I sought the Lord. He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. What is it that you fear? Where did the fear come from? What are you doing about it? Does the Word of God have anything to do with you dealing with your fear at all? It sure would help you. Everybody's tempted with fear. It's not new, but the Bible says fear has torment. Is it God's will for you to live feeling tormented in your soul every day? No, absolutely not. Well, so what are you going to do? You're going to seek the Lord. He's going to hear you. And he's going to deliver you from that fear. It's going to come through a revelation of who he is and how much he loves you. Yeah. Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You feel weighed down by the cares of life. Come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Sometimes you do. You need some rest. Sometimes your load has been heavy. We have seasons in our life where our load is heavy. And were it not for the grace of God, we would not be able to carry it out. We would not be able to do it. I know that's true. But he says, come to me. See, he's your source for what you need. He is your answer for everything you need to know. With friends, your future, school, work, family. I'm telling you, your answer is found in Jesus. He says, I'll give you rest. In other words, you'll have that peace. The Bible says there's a peace that passes all understanding. In other words, you don't even understand how it happened. You just know now you're in peace. You don't have to have everything figured out. God has it figured out. Get on the page with God. That's why you gave your life to him. So now he can live and do his plan that he had for you before you were created, before you were born, before you were in your mother's womb. God had a plan for your life. I don't care who your mom was. It doesn't matter. God has a plan for everybody that was ever birthed. And a lot of them that were aborted. All these abortions, there's a soul wrapped in flesh is what a baby is. Babies don't come by accident. God knows they're coming. He has a plan for their life. Do you think God just doesn't understand what has happened to all of them? I value human life. Why? Jesus came and died for human life. Think about what I'm saying. He valued life so much, everybody's life, that he came and died for the sins of the whole world. We don't have a right to decide what life is supposed to be here and what not. Man, it's a dangerous place to be in your head. And it will cause you to make decisions that you will regret later. The Message translation for Matthew 11:28, I read, "Come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That means peace. Like sometimes you just have too much swirling in your head. You're overloaded with the cares of life. It can be family issues. Maybe there's some family dynamics that need to be changed. Most of the time there is, because everybody needs to be saved and learn and grow in the Lord. But the Message translation puts it this way. Are you tired? I love this. I'm in it, my page. He says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Yeah, that's the Message translation of, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Jesus didn't invent religion. Jesus is not a religion. Jesus is a person. You're not worshiping a religion. I never tried to do like a religion. I love Jesus. I gave my life to Jesus. I didn't give my life to a denomination or any kind of creed, whatever. I gave my life to Jesus. This is how the early church saw it. They didn't know there were denominations. They just listened to what the apostles said and all the people who had been and traveled with Jesus that Jesus had taught. They listened and they watched and they said, I'm in. This is awesome. And the peace of God came in their lives. They began to love one another. They began to forgive one another. They helped one another survive the persecution that was coming from Rome. There is a real rest, y'all. Because there could be a restlessness in you, like, I need some answers. I need some answers. And there's a restlessness. What are you doing with yours? What are you doing with your restlessness? See? But because there's a real rest, there's a genuine peace when you decide and refuse to worry. It's almost like when you catch yourself worrying, you go, that's why we don't do that anymore. It's like a bad habit. It's the cancer of the soul. Worry is like a cancer in your body, literally. And you worry and you fret. And I don't know, it's like when I was younger, I was more, I think, concerned about what people thought. But the more you know Jesus and the closer you get to Jesus, the less you're concerned about it. I'm more concerned about what he thinks. I'm more concerned about the one I'm going to stand before. I'm not going to stand before any of those people anybody ever met. When my life is over, I'm going to stand before the Lord. And you are too. So that's the one I'm concerned about. What is important to you, Jesus? What is it you want me to do? I'm here on the planet. What are your plans for me? He said, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you, right? Good plans. God always had a good plan for you. And it's always a plan that will also demonstrate who he is to this world. Because his spirit now dwells in you so that you can help effect change in the culture. But you can't be afraid. You can't be afraid and do the will of God. You can't do it. That means you have to get past yourself and quit elevating yourself above what God has called you to do. No. You bow your knee. You say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. There are answers that you need in life. Everybody in this room, there's some answers. You need some answers. You've got some questions. There's some things. Some of you have already been kind of taking on the Lord and saying, God, I don't get it. I just don't get it. Pray in the Holy Spirit and wait on God. Learn to wait on God. His timing is perfect. He knows what he's doing. Don't be discouraged about where you are. Look where you used to be. Man, I don't know about y'all, but that's very liberating for me. Because I know where I used to be before I was with Jesus. Oh, God help the world. But I know who he's been to me. And I have found him to be very kind, very gentle, very consistent. He has never approached me in anger. He has approached me with questions. But he's never approached me with anger. He's not a God of anger. He never was. He just hates sin. But he loves people. God loves everybody all over the world. He loves the people who have murdered people. He still wants them to be saved. To not be saved, to be separated from God forever, is a horrible, horrible thing. There is a real rest and is found in God alone. He has your answers. Your answers are found in the Word of God. Your answers are found spending time with him. And you will need to pray in the Holy Spirit. And if you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I invite you to. I was sitting on the side of the bed when I received the baptism. I wasn't even in church. And God won't make you. He won't make your tongue move or anything. There's nothing goofy or mysterious about it. And it won't sound like a language to you. It isn't for your intellect. It's for your spirit. And sometimes later he may give you an interpretation of what you were praying. He'll do that sometimes. But most of the time he doesn't, not with me. Every once in a while he will. I say, so what was that? That was kind of like really different. And he'll talk to me about it. All I know is when I pray in the Holy Spirit, my spirit begins to dominate my soul. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? Your spirit will begin to dominate your thoughts more. And he does this in connection with the Word of God, not apart from it. Our relationship to God is a response to what he's already done for us. I'm not trying to get God to do anything. I never try to get God to do anything. I really don't. I obey him. It's so much easier. I mean, people keep trying to work on God. It's backwards. You work on yourself so that you submit to God. Having done all, then you just stand on whatever God told you to do. I don't say, oh, God, I wish you would do that, wish you would do. We forget that God uses people. This is how he chose to do it. He sent Jesus, God on foot, to show what God is like. If you've seen Jesus, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen my Father who sent me. I do nothing of my own. I don't do anything just out of my own volition, Jesus said. Out of just what I think should happen. He said, I follow the leading of my Father, period. And he came to show us what God is like. If you want to know what God is like, just look at the ministry of Jesus. Begin to study the Gospels. Begin to study the ministry of Jesus. And you'll see him talk to people other people would never speak to in that culture. You will see that there are women that traveled with Jesus. They were part of his ministry team and gave into his ministry. You will see that he made no distinction. And Jesus actually operated under the law of Moses. He was still under the law of Moses. Bless his heart. Under the law of Moses. And he was trying to teach them some things that were going to happen after he went to the cross. Because after Jesus went to the cross, everything changed. Our response is to believe him. Really. And when we do that, we begin to see the changes in our own lives. You want change to come to your life? I just gave you that, how that works. There's one more scripture I want us to turn to this morning. And it's in 2 Peter. It's verse 2, starting with verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge, hear that phrase, in the knowledge of God. Grace and peace be multiplied, that means you get more and more to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things. Wow. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. God has given you everything you need for life and godliness through the knowledge of him. Whoa, there it is. It happens through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. Do you know what those are? That through these, the promises, you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So he's making a distinction. You can escape all the lust, all the stuff that's of this world, lusting after riches, things, people. He says, it's a line of demarcation for you, so that you don't have to go down that route like everybody does. And then later when you're older, finally get it straight. Please don't do that. He said, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. This is why some people, their relationship with the Lord is a circle. They just keep going around in circles. And the things that troubled them 20 years ago is still their same problem today. They never get past it. But wow, you can. I want to encourage you today. You can. Whatever Satan's been troubling you with to hinder you in your walk with the Lord, you can kick him out on his can. But you're going to use the force of the word. If Jesus used the word to defeat the devil, what makes you think you're going to defeat him without it? You respond with the word. The word has to be what's in the foremost part of your thought process in every conversation, actually. But you're not going to kick the devil out with just you saying, oh, go away. Oh, leave me alone. Please leave me alone. Or going to God and begging God for something. God says, I've given you power over all the power of the enemy. I gave it to you, remember? We got to learn to use what we have. What's been so freely given to us, my goodness, he gave it to us free. I didn't have to go pay for it. Jesus did. Jesus paid for me to have this authority. Jesus paid for me to have, everything we have. You can live a godly life. You can live a godly life in a really, really cruel, messed up world. You'll suffer some persecution, by the way. Gather with Christians, the people who will love you, encourage you, help you. And some people that sometimes are the meanest, they're the ones when they're around you, they just feel the most conviction, that's all. They just are uneasy being around you because, you know, you're one of those people, you really love God. You just really put God first. Behind your back, they respect you. They're trying to get you to fall. Satan is trying to use these people so you'll fall by the wayside. So you'll go the way they're going. Do like what they're doing. All the things they get to watch on TV, all the things they get to do. It's like, it's the world system. It's the world system, though. This world system will ever take you even close to where God had for you to be. Your joy, since when you're born again, you have a program inside of you that just lights up when you're in the flow of God like nothing else on the planet can do. Y'all stand up. Glory to God. Thank you, God, for your words of life. I thank you because they are. I thank you, God, I can pick up this book almost anywhere in it and end up feeling happy and joyful at what you did, what you conquered, who you are, what you do, your plans for my life, my family, other people that I know. I'm so excited for them. Serving you is not too much trouble. Dying without you would be horrific. Absolutely horrific. There's nothing here that's so grand for just a few years compared to all eternity. If you haven't decided that today, you need to. It's not just you make up your mind. Our human mind is fickle. It's something that you learn and it goes down in you and it changes your soul. Because your spirit knows the truth. You don't even know what's in your spirit apart from the Word of God. You don't even know what you have. You don't know what you have. It's not you just trying to be a good person or behave so you don't get in trouble at home or something. You have a transformation, but you've got to have the Word of God to even know what happened in your own spirit. But if you don't know this Jesus I'm talking about today, you can know him. He died for your sins. Do you understand that when you come to Jesus, he never holds another sin against you? It's like the handwriting was gone. It's gone. It's not even written down anywhere. He doesn't keep a record of sin. People will, but God doesn't. What love. What a Savior. What love. What a Savior. Hallelujah. You need him. You need to do business with God this morning, then do business with God. See, I believe that. I believe that's true. Jesus came and died and took your place. Either you pay for it, he's going to pay for it. I suggest you take him up on his kind offer. Because it isn't just that your sins are paid for. It's just all the stuff you get to do that you were created to do. And the fellowship you have with God is very real. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Seeing people healed, delivered, set free. Being able to move in the gifts of the Spirit is so fun. It's just so fun to get to do that and encourage other people. And they know there's no way you could have known that about them. They know it was God. God loves, he wants to flow his love through us to other people and help them. God's not an angry God. He's a God of love. Come to him today. Come to him today. Thank you, God, for your goodness, your mercy, your kindness. Thank you for shedding your blood for our sins. You took us seriously, God. Help us to do the same for you, that we would take your words of life seriously. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.